Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Well, good morning, good morning. How are we doing out there, everybody, man? This is the really good-looking crowd that comes to the 9:30 service. Come on. If you know I'm talking about you, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. Now look at your other neighbor, the one you weren't so convinced about. Tell me he might be talking about you. Anyway, hey, man, it's so great to be in church this Sunday morning. For those of you that don't know, my name is Pastor Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here at My City Church. And, man, it's just such a great privilege to be here this morning. I wasn't supposed to be here this Sunday morning, and me and my wife have been in Dallas, Texas, and how many of you know everything's bigger in Dallas, Texas? Like, the barbecue's bigger, the roads are bigger, the cattle are bigger. It's just everything's bigger in Texas. And so we've been down there, and I was doing a wedding for some of our very best friends. And I was doing their wedding, and I found out that their wedding was a little earlier than what we had originally thought. And so it got to be over about 4 o'clock, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, I'm not missing church. No way, man. Like, I'm addicted, guys. I just, it's just the way it is. I love this place too much. And I'm like, so I got online. I'm looking around. I go, man, I got to find me a flight. I got the last flight out, like 10 o'clock at night, got back in at 2 in the morning, got up, got to church, and I could not be more pumped to be here. And so I'm running about 2 hours of sleep. So if I'm this excited, I need a little bit more excitement out of you. And it's going to be a great, great day. But the team has been preparing for this all week, and everybody's doing their part. How about Mariah and Abram doing a great job emceeing the service? Great job, guys. And today, I'm not preaching today, and I'm really thankful for that because I would not be responsible for anything that came out of my mouth right now with this little sleep. So, but today we have one of my best friends. And one of my best friends, one of our great directors. And I just want to take a minute and gosh dang it, Jesus. I never used to cry, and then I met Jesus, and now it's just waterworks all the time. And Eli, you're a great man of God. And I just want to tell you, man, God sees the private things of the heart. And he honors them. And you're about to enter into a new season, brother. A great season of God's favor, God's leadership on your life, the blessing of God over your family. And today, I just feel like it's kind of like this turning point for you in your world. And things that even maybe have died somewhere along in the journey, God's about to resurrect. And man, I believe in you, and today you're going to bring a great word. God's with you. And today, man, can we just lean in today? Let's give him our very best. I just found that preaching, you get out of it what you put into it. So let's lean in today, a room full of faith. And why don't we stand towards our feet as we welcome Eli Nelson to come encourage us today.
Hey, while you're standing, stay standing. Stay standing. Honor's given, honor's due. Pastor, you have taught me everything that I know. And you helped me see the call of God that was on my life and taught me how to develop that and to start walking in that. And I'm so thankful that we have Pastor Jesse to look forward to in leading this church. And just so you know, the best is yet to come. Let's give Pastor Jesse a great round of applause. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. You guys can be seated. Today we're going to be reading out of the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 22 through 34. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to that. It's about midway through the New Testament. If you don't have your Bible, there's a free app on your phone. It's called YouVersion. It's very helpful for me, especially when I forget my Bible. But if you don't have that, we have the big Bible up here. So follow along with me as I read. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to the stocks. About midnight, say midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. It's crazy. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called, "Lights, lights, lights," rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all the others. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer took them into his house and set some raisin canes before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. I want to share with you another verse today, and it is our theme verse for heart and soul. And it is Luke chapter 22, verse 37, and it goes like this. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. I want to speak to you the topic today called Keep Your Head in the Clouds. Keep your head in the clouds. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you for the word that you have given me today. Father, I pray that it would not land on deaf ears, but it would land on people's hearts. God, right now I welcome your presence in this place to transform lives, to transform minds, and to speak a new season into people's lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Reese. Thanks, man. So last week we talked about, it was the topic of heart and soul, and Pastor Jesse talked about heart. And the main idea was that God doesn't come after your life choices. He doesn't come after what you've done, what you did recently. But he says, I know you did that. But how's your heart? You see, in every person, once they come to believe in Jesus, it doesn't stop there. God wants not only your heart, but he wants your mind, will, and your emotion. He wants your soul. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And the first point we're going to be going off today is point number one, decision, the battle of your will. Now, what I find in life is that a lot of stuff revolves around perspective. Wouldn't you say that? A lot of it revolves around perspective. How many of you guys, when you were kids in here, were afraid of mousetraps? I was afraid of mousetraps for sure. You know, I was taught a life lesson from my mom. My mom's in here today. I don't know where she is. I think she's in the back by my grandpa over here. But my mom taught me so much, and I love you so much because you, a lot of reason of who I am today is because of you. So my mom taught me this valuable lesson when I was about 9 years old. And what she did is she put some mousetraps in a hallway. What kind of mom does that? She put some mousetraps in a hallway, say a dozen or so. So imagine me for a second here, mousetraps littered throughout this hallway. And she said, "Hey, I want you to get from one end of the hallway to the next." "Mom, that's easy." So I'm stepping over, you know, you go to the front, to the right, to the left, you know, you get to the end of the hallway. But little did I know, at the end of the hallway, she was there waiting and took out a blindfold behind her back and said, "Put this on." So I put the blindfold on. She says, "Now I want you to do it again." If you could imagine the fear going over a 9-year-old child, you know, like, "Oh, I got to get, how am I going to get past these mousetraps?" As a little kid, could you imagine the fear that came over me? I was petrified. I was scarred. You know, the fact that I still remember it here 25 years later, or 22, something like that. The older you get, the harder it gets to remember, I've heard. But the fact that I still remember that, and she said, "Why are you so afraid?" I said, "Mom, because I can't see. I'm going to fall right into that trap." She said, "I know you can't see, but who can see?" You can? Exactly. You see, it's your perspective. Don't be afraid of what life is throwing at you. Because if you have someone around you that has the right perspective, they can lead you through life's traps, life's troubles. Point number one, decision, the battle of your will. So here we have Paul and Silas. They are, for lack of a better word, in a tough place right now. They get thrown into prison because they were following the will of God. Now, the Holy Spirit led them to Macedonia, and now they are stuck in prison because of the leading of God. That might be contradictory to a lot of people. They think, "Hey, once I follow God, once I seek God, everything's going to go great. Everything's going to be fine and dandy. And hey, if I have some troubles in life, that means I'm not in the will of God." But that can be the exact opposite. And that's what we see from this verse here. That they were in the will of God and they still experienced trouble. You see, in God's will, there will always be a battle for our will. It's what do we do when that trouble comes? In God's will, there will always be a battle in our will. You know, I find that you can be right smack in the middle of the will of God and still get thrown into prison. You can be right in the middle of the will of God, told to go to the other side of the lake. That's what happened to Peter. Go to the other side of the lake. You think you would be, okay, that's the easiest, go to the other side of the lake. And then at the darkest part of the night, a storm comes over them. See, you can be right in the middle of the will of God and still get crucified. Come on, you can be right in the middle of the will of God and still experience hard times. But know this, Hebrews 12 says, let us run with perseverance the race set before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Let us consider him who faced such opposition against sinners so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Touch your neighbor and say, don't grow weary. Touch your other neighbor and say, don't lose heart. You see, it's in the process. It's in the process of our will. In the process, do not lose heart. We're going to face bad times. We're going to face troubling times. But what are we going to do with that? You see, it's in the process of hanging on the cross. It's in the process of going over to the other side of the lake. It's in the process that realizes that no matter what season I am in, God wants to show you who he is right here, right now. God wants to, see, if Paul and Silas were thinking, oh man, you know what, we're in prison, we'll just wait until we get out, they would have missed the miracle that was in store for them that night. If they would have gotten their eyes off Jesus and on their circumstance, they wouldn't have realized that God was trying to show them who he was in the middle of their trouble. You see, if we focus on our circumstance, we miss what the miracle that God wants to do in us and through us at that very moment. In the process, you don't lose heart. That's how you win the battle of your will. Now, understand today that if we don't lose heart, God is faithful because he has a plan in store for us. Consider it pure joy when you encounter various trials, because I have overcome the world. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Because you can be in the middle of a prison, and if you have your eyes on God, there is an earthquake waiting to set you free. You can be in the middle of a lake in a storm, and God is waiting to show up at the middle of the night to show you how to come out of the boat and walk on water in the midst of your storm. You can be in a cross, and if God is with you and God is on your side, there is a resurrection at the end of the day. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. You see, it's in the process. It's in the process that God wants to show you who he is. What's your process right now? What's your circumstance? To know your mind, your will, and your emotions, your soul. To win the battle of your will, you need to stick it through in the process. But what do I do, Eli? Do I just go around and, you know, I'm not feeling this. Do I just fake it till I make it? You know, at some circumstances, you need to push through the emotions. But on other circumstances, you need to have the right perspective to deal with your emotions. Point number two is drama, the battle of your emotions. Everyone say perspective. Help me out today. Say perspective. You see, your emotions are a matter of your perspective. What are you focusing on right now? Let me ask you a question. What is midnight? What's midnight? I'm dark. It's dark at midnight. You know, I'm tired at midnight. You know, for moms in here, you know, they're like, midnight's the first time I get up to feed my baby. You know, so what is midnight? Midnight is the process. What happens when it turns from 11:59 to 12 a.m. What happens? You see, your emotions are a matter of your perspective. Paul and Silas, the Bible says at midnight, and they had the right perspective. They said, I know what happened yesterday. I know what we went through yesterday, but today is a new day. Behold, I do a new thing. God is working in your today. God wants to show your miracle today. So win the battle of your emotions, you have to have the right perspective. To win the battle of your emotions, you have to have the right perspective. And what I see is that Bible says Paul and Silas were singing, praying, and singing hymns, right? Is that right? Did I read that wrong? They were praying and singing hymns. And the other prisoners were listening to them, which that makes me understand that, hey, man, they had to be singing kind of loud. You know, they had the Spirit of the Living God. They had to be singing kind of loud. And this is the great thing about God here. So it says that it put them in the inner cell, the middle of the prison. Had they been on the end of the prison, the other prisoners on the other end might not have heard them. You see, God wants to put you in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a circumstance, so it can affect the people around you that are also in the middle of that circumstance. Have the right perspective. The right perspective. So I see Paul and Silas, they're singing out, and could you imagine the prisoners? You know, some of them were probably annoyed. They were like, oh, man, he's singing. He doesn't sound very good. He doesn't, oh, man. Annoyance, like, can you hear him? Spirit of the Living God. I'm so sorry I put you through that right now. You know, I'm so glad we have loud music because you guys don't have to hear me squeak and squeal while I'm singing. You know, but I could imagine some annoyance from some people that were surprised that, man, I cannot believe they're singing. Did you hear what they went through earlier that day? That's unbelievable. I could imagine some other emotions of people being like, oh, man, I can't believe they're singing. I just want to slap them right now because I want to sleep. You know, so I could imagine all the different emotions going on in the prison. And what I love about Paul and Silas is they didn't let the emotions of other people affect them because they had the right perspective. Now, let's picture for a second God up in heaven. Paul and Silas are down on earth in prison singing. God's up in heaven playing Madden 18 on Xbox One because Xbox is superior to PlayStation. I'm just playing. We all know PC is the master race. But God's upstairs playing this, and all of a sudden he hears, Spirit of the Living God. Gabriel, you hear something? Hey, I think they're singing my name. Is that Paul and Silas down there? They're singing my name. Oh, God. Oh, myself. They sound awful. Look, they don't even sing in the same pitch. Oh, poor Silas, man. He's singing the wrong words. He thought they were going in the chorus, but they're going back in the bridge. That's not very good, you know. You see, God doesn't have that perspective. He doesn't look at it as they're going to have to do a lot better than that if they want me in their midst. You know, I could see God up in heaven, whatever he's doing up there, praying for everyone, watching out for us. Hearing Paul and Silas singing, turns his head. Hey, you hear that? That's Paul and Silas singing me. That's my name they're singing. I like that. Spirit of the Living God. Hey, I like that song. You know, God's getting a little head down, a little foot tapping. You know, people don't understand, but it was the foot tapping that made the earthquake, you know. Yeah. So I can see God moving around, you know. Hey, I like that song. Man, they're singing about me. Gabriel, guys, come over here. You hear that song? You know what? I think I'm going to come visit them. Man, they keep lifting me up regardless of what they're going through. I think I'm going to come in the middle of their midst. I think I'm going to walk right in there. And then you go, presence of God falls in that room. Presence of God falls in that place. You see, there's power when we worship God regardless of what we are going through. When we have the perspective of, it's not about me, it's about him and how good he is. There's power when God comes in the room, when he does what only he can do. When the presence of God falls in a place, when the presence of God moves in people, it breaks chains off of people, not only yourself, but everyone else around you, so that they can feel God, so that they can see God, so that they can have the right perspective. So that they can have the right perspective. The Bible says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You're going to have hard times. What are you going to do with the hard times? You see, there is a battle for your soul. There is a battle for your will. There is a battle for your emotions. When you make the right choice to stick it through in the process, you will see God show up in your will. When you have the right perspective to see who God is in the middle of your circumstance, you win the battle for your emotions. But I understand this, that we need to learn how to open up to God. I see a lot of people, they come around and they're stone cold. They don't have any emotion. So what does that mean, Eli? Do I just be stone? No, you don't do that at all. Because God gave you emotions. It's learning to direct them in the right place. So I see a lot of people, they come around and like, man, I just can't really get close to God. I can't see God transform my life. And what I've learned from God today in my life and my walk with God is that God can't fix what you fake. God cannot fix what you fake. Some of us are going around so stone cold in here. Sometimes we just need to learn to break before God. Because get this, God can't heal if we don't learn to break. We must learn to break before God. God can't fix what you fake, and God can't heal if you don't break. So you can look at that perspective like, hey, I win the battle of my will. Okay. I win the battle of my emotions. I got past the drama. But if you don't ever transform your mind, you will repeat a vicious cycle over and over and over again because you always revert back to who you are in your mind. You always revert back to who you are in your mind. Point number three, dedication, the battle of your mind. You see, I find many Christians don't think about what they think about. Think about that for a second. That's a lot of thinking, Eli. My brain hurts. Most Christians don't think about, most people in general don't think about what they think about. What are you thinking right now? You know, I'm thinking I'm a little thirsty, you know. What are you thinking about? You see, if we're going to have true transformation of the soul, we got to follow what the Bible says. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then. What does that mean? That means there must be a first. First what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will see what the word of the Lord is. Man, I'm flying through this today. I love it. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, we spend too much time thinking about things that have been spoken over us and things that have been spoken about us that God never intended us to agree with. And today I want you to learn how to counteract the lies of the enemy with the promises of God. The promises that says he will. The promises that says he has. The promises that says he is. Learn to overcome the lies of the enemy with the promise of God. That is how we transform our mind. But there is power in a thought. There is power in what you think. There is a power in a thought planted in the mind. Ever seen the movie Inception? That's real stuff right there. You don't know it right now, but you're in a dream. That's why I'm preaching so well. Wait for it. You see, everything was created with a thought. And choosing to hear the voice of God above all other things is the most important habit we will ever develop. If you're taking notes in here, I would write that down. See, I would be a person that takes notes either on my phone or something. And this is why, because whenever I need to reflect on a circumstance that I'm in and I need to see what God did before, I can reflect on my notes. Why do you take notes? Because you're not that smart. And neither am I. I heard this saying that said, the dullest pencil is sharper than the brightest mind. Oh. You see, if you write it down, you can reflect. So if I was you, I'd write that down, that the most important habit we can ever develop is learning to think the thoughts of God above all other thoughts. Learning to think the thoughts of God. You see, there's a battle for your mind. It's the most important habit we can lose or win. The most important thing we can lose or win. The most important battle we can lose or win is the battle for your mind. I read this last week. I was reading this article about the thoughts and the power of a thought. It says over 60,000 thoughts on average go through a person's mind every day, and over 40,000 are negative to a certain extent. What are you thinking about today? You know, I see the struggle in every believer. I see the struggle that I'm saved, but then I still have me. I'm saved, but then I'm still working with me. I'm falling back. I don't see what I'm doing. I don't see what I'm doing wrong. What we don't understand is that the transformation needs to happen in our mind. And you see, I got two quotes from you from two theologians. The first one is from Charles Spurgeon. He's probably arguably one of the greatest preachers of all time. And the quote goes like this, beware of no man more than yourself. We carry our own worst enemies within us. I have another quote from a theologian in here. It says, I'm losing myself. I'm stuck in the moment. I look in the mirror, my only opponent. Oh, is that Jay-Z? You know, because everyone has a theological view. It's just who your theological view lies in. You know, and if someone who, like Jay-Z, can realize that, let's see that, you know, the battle isn't out there. The battle, the real enemy, is in a me. The real enemy is in a me. You see what I did there? You see what I did there? Yeah. In a me, enemy, it sounds the same thing? Yeah, that was pretty clever. I thought so. You see, you can spend your whole life trying to fix everything around you and never realize that the place you're being sabotaged from is from within you. The devil is our enemy, yes, but the battle is in our mind. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we'll know what the will of God is. You see, we have to learn how to defy our inner critic. Our inner critic that says, you see, he's talking to me right now. You think you'd at least leave me alone when I'm trying to preach to you? Oh, no, no, no. That's when he's the loudest. That, your sermon's not very good. Look at that girl. She's asleep. That guy, he thinks your shirt's too tight. What's your inner critic? What's that inner critic going on in you right now? What are you thinking about? What voices are you listening to your head? You know, it reminds me of when I go to the gym and I forget my headphones. You know, I need to have my headphones. And I'll tell you why. There's a story that happened, the reason why I need to have my headphones. So I work out at the YMCA. It's not the best gym in the world. You know, if you look at it, you'd be like, man, how does he get so swole in such a small gym? You know, hey, maybe it's not the gym. Maybe it's you. So I go to the Y, and like no joke, guys, I'm getting ready to throw down some serious weight. So I'm getting pumped, and what I do is I get myself psyched in my head what I'm going to do. Keep in mind, I don't have my headphones on because I forgot them. And so I'm sitting there. I'm getting psyched. Okay, let's do this, guys. I'm going to need some spotters. We're going to lift up on three. All right, I'm getting myself ready. I'm imagining a car that is under me, and I'm getting ready to bench it off so that my kids can escape. So I'm picturing myself in my head. I'm getting ready to sit down. I go, all right, guys, you ready? And over the loudspeaker, I'm going, ready? One, two, and then the loudspeaker, you hear this. I knew you were trouble when you walked in. I mean, talk about a major buzzkill, man. I'm like, I cannot live today. My kids are just going to die under the car. Oh, that was bad. I probably shouldn't have said that. The mind, you know. But it reminds me of being in the gym and listening to the music. You know, but the thing I found about the gym is that I can always put my Bose headphones on and to drown out the music because it has noise-canceling technology. I can hear the music that I want to hear. But how do you hear the voices you want to hear when the voices are from within? And I want you guys to get this today. This is the crux of the sermon. The greatest tragedy in life is when we let the battle of our thoughts within us limit us in the great deeds God has in store for us because of the lies we have believed. The greatest tragedy is when we let the battle within us limit us in the great deeds God has in store for us because of the lies we have believed. You see, lies create limitation, and the limitation we embrace robs us of the destiny we were created for. I would write that down too. I would put that on my phone so that I could just look at it every time I open up my phone. What lies am I believing? You know, who are you listening to? What feed are you listening to? That's why I said I put it on my phone, because when you open up your phone, you immediately go to Facebook or Instagram, or do people do Twitter anymore? I don't think so. You go Snapchat, you know, you open up your phone, you see, what feed are you listening to? What voices are you listening to? What thoughts are you listening to? Are you listening to God's feed, God's thoughts, or the world's feed, your feed? But I want to share with you Isaiah 55 that says, give ear, come to me, listen, that you may live. Who are you listening to today? Let those forsake their ways, and unrighteous forsake their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but will accomplish that which I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So what do I do, Eli? Okay, I get it. What do I do? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. What do you take captives in? You take captives in a battle, right? You see, if I haven't gotten it across already, there is a battle for your mind. There is a battle for your thoughts. And if you don't take captive your thoughts will take captive over you. Don't believe me? All right, we're going to play a game here. We're going to play a game. I'm going to need some response. I'm going to need some feedback. So I want you to tell me what triggers in your mind when I say this particular phrase, slogan. Say it out loud. What immediately comes to your mind when I say this? Are you guys ready? Say ready. Ready. All right, here we go. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Good job. All right, here's another one. What about this one? Like a good neighbor. State Farm is there. So good, so good. All right, picture with me for a second. I'm home on the cell phone. Can you hear me now? Good, Verizon. What about this one? Taste the rainbow. Skittles. Skittles. All right, here's one for the girls in here. Maybe she was born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. All right, if I do one for the girls, I got to do one for the guys, right? Right? All right, here's one for the guys. For our nation, for us all. The few, the proud, the Marines. Good job, good job. All right, here's another one that everyone should be able to get, whether young or old, young at heart or old at heart, buzzed or sober, you should be able to get this one. Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that. Good job. Everyone give yourself a round of applause. Good job. Good job. And you may be thinking, hey, Eli, just because I know that doesn't mean that it's a part of my mind. I mean, I don't think about Kit Kat bars all the time. I don't think about that all the time, which you're right. You're right. But I wanted you to see something that triggered in you when I said that particular phrase or slogan. When I said, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, what triggered in you? What triggered in you? What triggers in you when you hear this? You are never blank enough. It's that inner critic. You are never blank enough. I'll give you some of mine. I am never smart enough. I am never under controlled enough. What is your blank? What is your never enough? What are you saying over yourself? I am always angry. I am a screamer. I'm a stuffer. I'm just like my mother, just like my father. I'm a wreck. I'm a people pleaser. I'm a jerk. I'm insecure. I don't have what it takes. I have a short video for you guys so that you can see, hopefully see what the point is that I'm trying to get across. So go ahead and play that video. You see, you hear what you want. Say that out loud. Keep your head in the clouds. Keep your head in the clouds. You see, it's a matter of your perspective. It's a matter of what you think about God and about your circumstance. So I want you to learn to overcome the lies of the enemy with the promises of God. And I actually have a few promises in store for you here today. God says to you today, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God says to you today, you are loved. You are His child. You are created in His image. You will never be forsaken. You will never be forgotten. He is your joy. He is your peace. You are washed clean. You are justified. You are no longer a prisoner, but are set free. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are completely forgiven. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. That's what God says about you. Are you going to listen to what you say about you? Or are you going to listen to what God says about you? Get this today. Acts 16 verse 27 says, the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. You see, you may not know this, but what he saw was that the prison doors were open. But that's not what really happened. What he saw was the prison doors were open, and that is symbolic of Christ opening up the doors for him and his household to accept and believe in Christ. The very thing that was going to lead to his physical death was the very thing that led to his spiritual life in Christ. What thoughts are going in your mind over your circumstance right now? What thoughts are you entertaining in your mind and your circumstance today? My marriage is hard thought, which leads to, or my circumstance, my marriage is hard, which leads to a thought, I should get a divorce. Circumstance, people don't say hi to me, thought, people don't really like me. Circumstance is, I've been wounded in church before, thought, I shouldn't even go again. Circumstance is, I don't have it all together, thought, I can't lead people. Circumstances, I hate my life, I'm going to kill myself. Thought is, I should just kill myself. Circumstances, I don't have what it takes. Thought is, so why should I even try? But I have the word of God for you today. Whoever this is for, lift your hands and receive it. You are enough. You are enough because you have Christ on the inside of you. Say that out loud. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Father, I thank you for your love that is in this place. Your word has been released. I've spoken it to the best of my ability, but it is going to take a response. It is going to take perseverance. It is going to take a commitment to purpose to fully see it come to pass. So I declare over this word that I have spoken, as the rains fall from the heaven and do not return without making it bud and flourish, so shall your word be that came forth out of my mouth today. It will not return to you void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. Say that out loud. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I thank you for the potential of your word. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for the power of your spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the spirit of Paul and Silas be upon your people in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.